You are listening to the Red Pill Chronicles, where we help awakening souls deal with a blue pill world. I'm your host, John Dennison, and together we'll explore how to take an inner approach to your outer affairs so you can build a better life and a better world to live it in. Hello, my friend. John here. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Red Pill Chronicles. Today it's going to cover a topic very near and dear to your heart, which is you. We're going to talk about knowing yourself and how important that is both to your awakening as well as to your spiritual evolution. Before we start, though, I want to again remind you that free will matters. Every being was born with free will. That is the first principle of creation. Every being must set its course through life and how it's going to interact with the life it has. And you must decide for yourself the information which you will allow into your mind and to allow it to become part of something that you would consider for yourself. And frankly, I stand for free will for everyone, and I don't want to impinge upon yours by telling you something and expecting you to believe it. I want you to take my words and test them with your intuition, with your gut, to see how they feel, to see how they resonate with how you think or they make sense to you, and however else you might process things to information to decide how to let whether you should believe it or not, much less the credibility of the person who is delivering that information. Hopefully we're not going to be getting into my credibility today, but I'm more than happy to provide you with whatever background you'd like to understand where I come from. If you go to my website, johndennison.com, that's a portal to all of my work and information about me, so you can go check that out for yourself and make your own decision. But again, with regard to the information you're going to get today, I want you to understand that this is something that you must filter and test and see, does it fit within where you are in your life and perspective and views right now? And something that was, and some of my words may just absolutely act like a burr in the saddle and be something that just irritates you so much you just want to forget or even shut off. I encourage you to hear the rest because you might find out something else that you might resonate with more. But however you feel about it, you should only accept into yourself those things which resonate with you, that either have an air of truth between your current beliefs or perspectives, or that are possibilities that you would like to understand a little bit more and consider for yourself. So anyway, with that out of the way, let's talk about you. This is a subject that I've been studying in one form or another for at least, 20, 25 years now. And it's the different aspects of knowing oneself and how to use that, not just to know it, but how to use it in building a life now as well as advancing oneself along the journey. We'll call it the after-death journey of the soul. I've heard it called linear reality that we are living in now. But the non-physical world is a non-linear reality. But we don't need, I'm getting ahead of myself or actually outside of the scope of today and starting to talk about different views and types of realities. But knowing yourself is going to be key to all of it. And it's mostly key to being more at ease and at peace in the life that you're living now and figuring out which way to go from here when you have questions. We've talked about the inner voice at length before. And this is one of those things that is an aspect of yourself that many people don't even know that they have or what to do with when they do begin to hear it. And your inner voice isn't necessarily a voice. It could come as a thought, for me much of the time that it does. But as you begin looking at the communications that come forth within you, you may find that there are a whole lot of different kind of communications that could be within this concept of an inner voice that are not necessarily voices or perceived at the same place or location or manner. And when I say place or location, I mean within your awareness or within your physical being or energetic being. Because I've discovered that there are various aspects of me or areas within my energy field where I have certain communications that I receive and others that I receive in others. For instance, when I'm speaking with my angels and guides, those come through generally an area where I focus is, let's say it's slightly upward and to the right of my third eye. And that seems to be the place where the energy enters into my awareness. I'm not saying that that's where it is. That's the place within me where I'm drawn to recognize it coming from. It's almost like they're off to my right talking to me all the time. It's hard to shut them up at times. But not that I want to, but I have to stop everything else and listen. Otherwise, if I ignore them, they get even louder. Anyway, let's not go into that. I'm telling my secrets now. There are a lot of things inside of you that you're going to discover when you start knowing yourself. And again, it starts by getting quiet and beginning to meditate. But when you're looking for your inner voice, you're going to realize it's actually a bunch of inner voices. And one of those is that you can, a real quick and simple one is you can just ask yourself a question. And you're going to notice that an answer is going to immediately pop into your head. You may or may not have already had this information. It may have been something you were just uncertain about. But you're getting an answer. Now you look at that answer and don't think about it logically. Think about how does that answer resonate in my body? Does it make me feel excited, confident, relaxed? Or is there a little agitation or sense of tension to it? You know, and so you begin to read all the signals that are coming to you. Your inner voice is not just going to be the voice or the intuition, which is the idea or inspiration that pops into your head. Your inner voice can speak to you in many ways. Now, some people think that their inner voice comes from their soul or from their higher selves. Others think it comes from God or Allah. And some are tuned differently and actually get them from other beings in other dimensions or methods of communication that somehow tap into channels or frequencies that their scanners are able to hear. But anyway, your inner voice is going to help you an awful lot in what you have to do. So I encourage you to begin to listen when the situations of your life come up. It's almost like you're going to end up having an inner conversation with yourself that's always going to be going on in the back of your head. No matter how you're responding to or dealing with life around you, that conversation is going to be there. And if it's not, if you're involved in something you don't, that's where you're going to come back to analyze what you did or why you got upset or how things unfolded the way they did. But again, we're still getting ahead of ourselves. The inner voice is an aspect of you that is there that will get louder the quieter and more aware you get of what's going on in you. Now, there are other aspects outside of you that can be marshaled by God or your soul to deliver the message if you're not hearing it inside. And you might think of these as signs that appear. There are just too many ways. I mean, somebody could say something, something could happen. You could pass a sign on a billboard. It could be a town crier ringing his bell and delivering a message that may be just what you need to hear. Like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did in that movie. My memory fails me. Anyway, The Stand is what it was, I believe. There It Comes by Stephen King. Anyway, the inner voice is going to be one of these things that not only can you hear it, but then you have to learn to go about working with it. Because it's not enough just to hear the darn thing when it goes off. Now, you're going to hear, your intuition is at its grossest level going to make you aware of it, whether you're even conscious that you have an inner voice or an intuition or anything inside you that's communicating. But if you want to be able to use it more than just being as an alarm that suddenly goes off and says, watch out, then it takes some practice. It takes some practice, and it takes confidence that you know what you're receiving and that you can interpret it correctly, because there are many different interpretations of or ways to interpret signs and put them together. And you have to find the ones that work for you. For instance, I've got a set of runes. I don't know if you've ever used runes for divination or whatever, but every stone has a meaning, which could have multiple meanings, and every combination can bring you different. In other words, you can take the same set of stones for a reading, and you can interpret them entirely differently. And get totally different meanings just based upon how you see them and how you interpret them. So you have to be very careful. And then you got to take those and work back with your intuition to make sure you're getting the right answer. Or whether you have to choose, and it can be how you make that choice. That is the test. See, again, all these things are about knowing yourself. But when you do go about trying to gather information from outside sources, or even from your inner voice, you have to be conscious that they are distorted by things in you that cause you to see them and believe or not believe and interpret them in specific ways. Ways that act as filters and distort the information that is coming through to you. So when you're doing with the internal, you have to start clearing out all the stuff that gets in the way and the dross that's in you. I call these egoic distortions. I mean, we are all distortions of the one light that started all of creation. Because as we enter deeper and deeper into our illusions of separation, we theoretically move farther away from our understanding of that source, the understanding of the true nature of our being. So our job as we're awakening is moving up the ladder spiritually to expand our awareness of who we are. And in so doing, to realize that we are growing closer to the source from which we came, and that ultimately we are all one. We are all cut from the same cloth, and for there is only one, and it's getting every experience on all sides of the experience in this world, including those experiences that we may or may not have considered. But anyway, with these egoic distortions, it's very important to, as you are getting to know yourself, to start becoming aware of the filters in you. And sometimes that can come easily, and sometimes you won't see it. So the ones that I would suggest you concentrate on are the things that are involved with helping create the experiences of the life that you've been living, particularly the ones that keep seeming to happen over and over and over again, like the same old arguments or procrastinations or whatever. You know, when you've been engaged in a situation that's repetitive, that's particularly a place that you would look at, that you would look to see, well, what are the factors at play in this particular situation? And what are the factors in me that are contributing to either how it was created, or how I am experiencing it, and what I'm doing within it? And what are the factors on how it's going to affect other people too as a result of what I'm doing? These distortions within you are distortions of the light, and the light that flows into you to make you new. And the portion of that light we're talking about is that energy of the inner voice. And regardless of the method or channel by which it manifests to you, it's this knowing or understanding or having some communication from or awareness of something that you need to know or want to know. So that's important to look at yourself. And I'm not trying to get you to beat up yourself. I just want you to know what's there. I mean, if you lose your temper a lot, well, why are you losing your temper? You know, and you start looking at the things and what are the effects of it? And what's the value that it's bringing to you? And you start dissecting you. Not to make yourself feel badly or to make you seem that, gosh, you got so far to go, but to realize that in seeing these things about yourself, you can accept them and love them and change them if you choose or not. That's what consciousness is all about. And continue on. Use them in your life. But these distortions, you have to first have, before you can impact any kind of changes of yourself, you need to know what's going on inside of you. And knowing these distortions, that your life is going to reveal these things in you that you are here to deal with. That's why your life is created the way it is. And it's bringing difficult situations as catalysts to force you to look at these situations. Because life is all about the experience, or more particularly, life is about how you experience yourself through the situations and relationships of your outer world. They are providing a reflection of you, as well as a way for you to, those, some parts of you to vibrate and recognize within yourself that are within yourself. So when you are involved in these egoic distortions, it can really screw up how you see others or how you interact with others. But it is there to serve you. It is part of creating the experiences of life that your soul has come here to get through your ego. So you'll be wanting to work with those. But when you do, and as you're looking at yourself, you know, you don't just look for, you're not just sitting here trying to find these places where you may have an injury or pain those are different types of distortions, you know, residual scarring, mental scarring or emotional scarring. All of those things are part of these egoic distortions that I'm talking about that can affect the way you see and interact with your life. But there's another area that is within you that you need to be aware of if you're not already, and that's inner conflict. Inner conflict is probably the biggest challenge for you to do what you want to do in your life or to live the kind of life you have. Because if there is something, because just in the sheer nature of that where you are now isn't sufficient for you, you want something else. You are in conflict with your life. You are in conflict with yourself, that you are not able to sit there and accept your life and you exactly the way you are, exactly as being served up without thinking you need to or want to become something more. So inner conflict presents itself in many, many different ways. But it's there everywhere because we live in a dualistic reality. And that's because, good or bad, light or dark, all of that. It's because we have a physical reality and bodies manifested through a flow of light, which empowers the manifestation, which travels in waves, and waves have highs, peaks, and troughs. So it goes, and these are the opposite sides of the wave. Well, these peaks and troughs become the polarities of our lives and of our world. And you'll recognize it, particularly in politics, because you're seeing some people gravitating toward the left and other people gravitating toward the right, and their beliefs that it gets harder and harder and harder for them to get along. They are in an outer conflict over their inner beliefs and the way they perceive the world. And the only way to resolve that conflict is to resolve it within yourself. Otherwise, you have to dissipate those energies in some other way. And they are doing that on Twitter and Facebook. And who knows, hopefully never in the streets. But we do see some people exploding there as well. But you want to be looking for these inner conflicts within you. These are important things that can stop you. And we're supposedly, according to the law of one, either at some point our souls having to choose whether we are going to evolve along the path of service to self, probably best exemplified by Hillary Clinton, where everything is done to serve herself, and other people are manipulated to accomplish the ends that she seeks. And it's through that form of self-love that she and others are on that path will evolve. And then there's the service to others path, of which is probably the vast majority of people in this world that are or will be on that path, and that they go on the path of positivity. We call it positivity, but it's the path of trying to balance serving self with serving others, serving God and then balancing serving self and others. It's a three-way balance that must occur later on as you awaken, because your awakening begins to realize that it's your relationship with God, the source of your life, that is pulling you inward and onward for your own evolution, for your own return back to that source, and by gradually expanding your awareness through all these experiences as you work yourself back there through life after life after life and beyond in non-physical reality after each life is ended, all compositely happening simultaneously, which is a whole other direction we could go in, but we won't right now. I'm sorry. I'm distracting myself again. So again, inner conflicts are important. But realize that just because you begin to see yourself polarized toward one side or the other, let's say you find yourself polarized on this vaccine issue. Let's say you are on the side of either getting the vaccine and requiring others to get it, or you're on the side of not getting the vaccine and having the freedom of choice to go your own way. So regardless of which way you do it, you see that there's a polarity that you are seeing and working towards. All right. Understand that your polarities and the desires that support that arise as a result along the way in your lifetime, these are charged energies within you. as you, so let's call it a positive charge, for lack of a better term. But that's a value judgment. That's really not this. That's not accurate. But we'll call it, let's say they're all positively charged. But to hear your inner voice that we talked about earlier, those positively charged perspectives and views that you have may interfere with your ability to hear and interpret the information coming from your soul. And that's because it's being filtered by the polarity. And so if polarity itself is a distorting element of the egoic distortions. But this polarity set off conflicts within us, such as, should I stay or should I go? You have these on all kinds of issues in your life. And as you're evaluating things, you're going to find you have them even more. And they result as inner conflicts within you to identify and ultimately resolve. Because these are all distortions and create distortions of the light and distort the inner voice, which is trying to guide you into the specific experiences that you can consciously acquire and how you should engage them and process them after you've had them. Those are, and the ones that you don't choose, the ones that are created for you, to again, how to engage and act within those situations and how to process them once you have. So it's a whole, all of this has to do with your spiritual development, even if you're never aware of the fact that you're developing yourself spiritually. Because everything we have in life is needed for that journey that we talked about, where the soul is evolving back through the layers of illusions, back to knowing itself as the source. And that is really a, you know, I just distracted myself and lost my train of thought. I looked down at my notes. I almost never use notes. Today I brought notes. Got three lines on it. I've gotten through two. We were talking about the inner conflicts. You just got to understand your inner conflicts, because typically if you're stopped and you can't do something in your life, it's usually because some part of you is on both sides of the issue, seeking different things. And so you need to really know yourself and know what your intentions are. Know what's fueling those intentions, where they're coming from. Because the desires of the soul are not the desires of the ego. The desires of the ego are carrots used to dangled in front of you to lead you through life, just to set in motion the catalyst that they want to bring later. So it's just, you just got to learn to read your life and read yourself. And inner conflicts are going to be one thing that you're going to become more and more and more aware of as we move forward together. And the last thing that I really want to touch on is the awareness that you bring to your life. And by awareness, this term is in some senses interchangeable with consciousness, because consciousness is, it's a really hard term to put a name to, or a definition to. It's like the Tao that can be named is not the true Tao. The consciousness that can be described is not the true consciousness. It's more like the something that's looking at your life and experiencing your life inside of you. It's the awareness that you exist. Cogito ergo sum. René Descartes. I think, therefore I am. It's the knowing that there is something inside you which is enervating you and bringing you this identity, this personality. It's all part of the package. But somehow it brings you consciousness, or consciousness creates the package. It can go either way. But for now, let's just not worry about how the consciousness is where it originates from or how it's created. Let's just say that you realize that you are aware of what's going on in you and in your life. But when you look at your outer world, look around the room you're in right now. There are probably 1,000 things in that room that you could be looking on and paying attention. Like for me, there's a fan going over top of my head. Generally speaking, I'm not aware. I don't keep that fan in my awareness, but it's going up there. And the books on the shelves, I know that they're sitting there waiting to be read. Most of them have been. And I've got the computer in front of me and all the other things in the room, that any one of which could capture my attention at any moment, like the clipboard with the notes on it that with me a couple minutes ago. So your consciousness directs your awareness. It's what inside of you chooses what to look at, what to think about, it's like your inner traffic cop, I guess, that decides how we're going to put everything together and what's going to go first and how it's all going to work. And that consciousness is used to create what happens in your life and the experiences in your life. So it creates these experiences and then it experiences what it creates. And then it has to process what it has experienced and then decide what to do with what it gets. In other words, when something happens to you in life and you realize that temper that you have has gone off for the umpteenth time, and you see the things in you that are making it that way, and you just can't do anything about it, haven't been able to do anything about it, but you know they're there. You know, so that part of you hasn't had enough of that. It wants to continue to experience that for you until it helps you find a way, it finds a way to find other causes, to find other ways of dealing with it, and hopefully to clearing the distortion so that it does not further interfere with your life. When it's had enough, that condition or characteristic will dissipate, or it will create another condition within you that will lead you into something else, such as you're drinking, it leads you into a life where you lose your job and you end up in the streets. It can lead you to completely change your outer reality from an inner condition that started for whatever reason, whether you're aware of it or not. So this consciousness is something that is the awareness of you being you. So next time you're meditating, I want to give you a simple meditation to do, and you don't have to. I don't want you to do it right now, particularly if you're behind the wheel or car. But the meditation is simply to sit quietly and breathe. Be aware of your breath. Do that for maybe 5 minutes, and then shift your attention to the one paying attention within you, to the one that is doing the meditating. Look back at your own consciousness. To hold up the mirror and look at yourself. It will be a difficult experience at first to see this, to realize that you're aware of your own awareness. But that's what I would like you to do in your meditation this next time. Send me an email or text me through WhatsApp on my website to let me know how it went. But I do want you to start looking at your own awareness, because then once you can begin to recognize your awareness when you're meditating, then when you're not meditating in your world, then you'll be able to look at your world around you, where your awareness is focused. And when your awareness is focused at a particular time, occasionally you can look back and say, Why am I this aware? Why am I looking at this? What is this bringing me? What is this adding to the experience that I'm trying to create for myself? See, these are all things about knowing yourself, is beginning to look at your life as a process of your own evolution. It's the process of you gathering the experiences that are going to be necessary to help you become something more than you are now. I'm saying more, I mean energetically, as in changing your frequencies, your beliefs, your thoughts, or your the color of your light body, or whatever. All of these things add to who you are. And as you, it's like you keep picking up another stone and putting it in your pack. You keep going on, and that pack gets pretty heavy. So you got to find a way to put those, you know, to work and make them work with you. So as you get these new tools and things about you, knowing about yourself, you have to start working with them. Because otherwise, it's just stuff that you know that you should be doing, but you can't, that you're carrying around with you. But so you put them to work. So you start begin transforming yourself, and the pack gets lighter, and you can move a little faster. And that's how it is with your journey along the spiritual path. You're spiraling up the mountain. And as you do and you stop, you can look at where you were across on the other side and say, oh, I see this thing I picked up back there. I don't need to carry that anymore. You keep walking up the mountain and you look down and you see what's going on down in the valley below, the one you left. And you see some of your friends beginning to walk their way up the mountain as well. And you look up and you see there are others ahead of you that are spiraling and walking up that mountain. Of course, it goes upwards endlessly, becoming invisible as it merges into the sky. But that's the spiritual path. And the higher you get, the faster you can go, the more you can know, the more you can be. And it all starts with what you're doing right now. In your life, how it's contributing to who you are and what you're getting out of your life and what you're putting into it. And knowing yourself is key to everything on the spiritual path. It is key to, it's key to a lot in living in this, in your outer world as well too. Because you can find yourself doing things and fighting for things that really don't matter to you or that are not in harmony with the energies in yourself. For instance, I practiced law for, I don't know, 40, 45 years or so. And you get really caught up in the energies of conflict. And it got to a point where I couldn't harmonize myself with those energies anymore. That the energies themselves were just eating me up, making me dissatisfied with my practice. Because that just wasn't where I was. I was more and more moving toward the light as I was going deeper and deeper into knowing myself. And as I did, my willingness to engage in conflict diminished. Now I still did, but not as much and not in the same ways. Being paid to fight for somebody is, you know, you're expected to do that. And that's part of the game. And I did it, and I did it well. But that time came to an end. Because those energies in me came to an end. I could no longer reconcile them within me. Like the Taoists practiced, Wu Wei is going with the flow. It's going with the flow of you. And the unfolding of you in your life. And knowing yourself involves knowing who you are and how those energies are flowing through you and so that you can recognize where they're taking you toward. But if you're staying attached to things in your past or desires, unmet desires or fears that you're of what might happen if you don't do this or you do that, those are all distortions within you that can filter how you interpret what's going on in your life and put you in conflict between those distortions and what you want to create, because they may become mutually exclusive. So your consciousness is going to be the key that's allowing you to unlock the door of knowing yourself. It's what's going to direct your attention to you, to the things in you that you don't want to see. And I encourage you not to beat yourself up, but don't ignore them either and just brush them aside. You got to see it, You have to figure out whether it serves you and whether it serves the kind of life you're living and where you are or where you want to go to. Because sometimes the way you are may not be in harmony with where you want to go. So you have to change another so that you can go with the flow of where your life wants to go. Because if you're a certain way, so if you're too heavy, too dense, you're going to sink like a stone in the river of the flow of your life. So by releasing some of these old characteristics and the beliefs and perspectives and scars and biases and ideas that you have that tie you down, sometimes those have to be loosened so you can lighten up and go with that flow. But if you're like the rock and you just sinking to the bottom of the river, you may not even recognize the flow that's going on at the top, where you're stuck down at the bottom, where everything is just simply holding you down, holding you in place, holding you in the life you have. And because obviously, if you're in this life, everything being perfect, it's serving it up to you for a reason. And if you're not able to change yourself and you want to change yourself, then there are things in you and in your life that are contributing to that inability. So then you've got to find them and address them. And knowing yourself is what allows you to begin this process. So you have been given this real short introduction to some of the inner conditions and processes within you. And it's up to you what you do with them. You are a sentient being. As you are now awakening, you are beginning to have more awareness of the different factors that make up you and make your life the way that it is. But with that awareness comes responsibility, because you've got to put them together. You've got to put in the effort. Then you got to go out and get the experiences it brings and go from there. Life is not a passive process. This is a proactive process that you have undertaken in terms of being able to consciously accelerate your own evolution. You're not going to wait for life to just happen to you. Something in you has awakened you and said, hey, let's step on the gas. We got a place to go, things to do and places to be. So when that call comes outside of you that says, come on, get on with it. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. You begin to look at yourself. You begin to look at the things within you that some people call them the shadow, the stuff that's hidden from you. Sometimes those are the negative characteristics that other people see about you that you don't. But all those things, you know, or the places where you're defensive in your life or where you're aggressive, you know, what all of that stuff is there for you to learn. It's there for a reason. And discovering that reason will help you understand a little bit about what your life is about, what you're here trying to do, trying to accomplish. This is the path of return to source. There have been many, many teachings over the years on how to accomplish this. They have been laid out by religions, spiritual teachers, and yogis throughout the centuries, trying to help other people find God, to know themselves. And I'm trying to put it in terms that you can understand and that you can practice in your life today without having to go sit in the mountaintop somewhere and meditate forever. Meditation can be a valuable tool. But you don't need to do it all the time, unless you're trying to follow in Yogananda's footsteps. But I believe you're listening to me because your life is here to be lived and not to be changed so much that you just want to check out of this place and spiritually and get the hell out of Dodge. You're here to gather the experiences your life is serving you. And so you've got to do your best to get them as best you can, to bring out to and meet them with the best you have inside. That's to love yourself and to find the good things in you and bring them to the surface. But to recognize that there are dark things, negative things within you that do not necessarily contribute to the way you're trying to go, but they're valuable pieces to embrace, to be embraced and integrated into you in order to get where you want to go. Because the goal, the objective is wholeness, is for you to integrate your inner and outer aspects into a unified experience of life within this body, with the awareness of your consciousness and your existence beyond where you are. To become whole is to take the next step in knowing yourself as all that is, and coming into the oneness that we all are. You are so much more than you know yourself to be. And I truly want you to get there. I wish you Godspeed. I am John. Go with love.
You have been listening to the Red Pill Chronicles, where we help awakening souls move in a better way through a blue pill world. For more information, visit us at peaceoptions.com to explore how you can find your peace through knowing yourself and following your inner voice. Or at missionlaunch.com, where we offer coaching and consulting to help you make the difference in your world.